Good morning. Good to see this number out this morning. Especially if you're visiting with us, we do have visitors, we have travelers. We're grateful that you have come our way. We hope that your travels will be safe as you travel on today. Of course, Brother Dan is in a gospel meeting at Centerview. That's why I'm speaking this morning. Anybody remember the commercial that would come on TV? And it said, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Remember that? When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. I'm not E.F. Hutton. God's speaking to you today through His Word. And He wants us to listen to what's being said. I had Nick lead that song before the lesson this morning. Are you listening? I'll be somewhere listening. We'll all be listening for our name to be called. Will it be called? So this morning's lesson is entitled, They Wouldn't Listen. They Wouldn't Listen. In Pennsylvania in the year of our Lord, 1888, there was a dam located there called the South Fork Reservoir Dam. There was also located there an iron company called the Cambria Iron Company. And it warned the townsfolk that the dam was dangerous. There was a chance of collapse if it were not repaired. In that same area of Pennsylvania, there was a South Fork Hunting and Fishing Club. They had they were very wealthy and they had a lot of influence in the area. The fishing club said, there's no danger in that dam. There's no danger in it collapsing. So they argued against opening the floodgates and letting some water out to take the pressure off of the dam. And this was the reason for that. They said it would disturb the fish. Don't do that. On May the 31st, 1889, extra heavy rains came and filled the lake at 3:10 p.m. The dam broke. The Johnstown flood killed 2,300 people. Someone should have listened. Someone should have taken heed. Are you listening this morning? In a time prior to 2100 BC, the world was engulfed in sin, wickedness. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, said there would be a flood. God told Noah to let the world know of the coming destruction, which was the flood and which we can read about in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. The flood covered the highest mountains. The only ones to survive were Noah and his family and the animals that God had instructed him to bring on the ark.
Someone should have listened.
After a long time used in preparing for the ark, and a long time for warning the people of the coming destruction, we find that everyone had the warning, perished. They did not listen. Yet they laughed. They scorned. Why are you building such a big boat? Genesis chapter 7, verse number 21. It says, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life. The breath of life was there. Of all that was in the dry land, died. They wouldn't listen. They were told. They were warned. They shrugged it off. Like many do today when it comes to the Lord's church, His plan of salvation, we're not listening to what's being said. In Matthew chapter 24, verse number 38, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noe entered the ark. Same thing's going on today. Eating and drinking and having a good old time. Verse 39 says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, the Lord said seven times. Do we think that's important? Seven times. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When God speaks, folks, it's our responsibility to hear. Are you listening? After listening, we are to respond to what God has said. It's for our own good. God has a plan for man. Listen to it. God has done His part. God gave His only Son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God demonstrated that love, Romans 5:8-9. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Christ has done His part. He shed His blood for all mankind. Are you listening? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, he shed his blood. He went to the cross. He died for me. He died for you. But just because Jesus shed his blood doesn't mean you're a child of God. There's things we need to do. Things we need to do. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And without the shedding of blood is no remission." The latter part of that verse. God's plan includes the gospel, which within it is the power to save. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. It's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In James chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Obey the gospel. It's able to save your soul. Are you listening? Receiving salvation. We know that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 1:16 that the gospel of Christ was the power unto salvation. So this being true, there can be no salvation outside or apart of from the word which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude, verse 3. I want us to notice some things in James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. These things concerning salvation. Let's first read James 1, 21 and 22. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." First, action is required. You gotta do something. It is an established principle within the scriptures that God has never done for man what man could do for himself. In the creation, Jehovah made man with certain needs: food, shelter, clothing. In his infinite wisdom, he placed man in an environment that was rich with the materials necessary to sustain his existence. Yet those things had to be taken and used by man for man to receive the benefits. For example, God did not literally feed Adam and Eve, but he gave them of every tree of the garden. Genesis 2, verse 16. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely." Verse number 17. But, are you listening? "Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Not that tree. Action was required by man for him to receive the blessings the Almighty had placed before him. Notice the words of action that were used by James relative to salvation. Lay apart, receive, and be doers. These indicate beyond doubt that while God has placed salvation within man's grasp, folks, it's within your grasp. He has not unconditionally endowed it to him. That means there's conditions Are you listening? Second, a change is required. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. The scriptures paint one who has put on Christ as rising to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verse number 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. The things that once marred the soul must be laid aside and left behind. When one becomes a child of God and obeys the gospel, he needs to drop the baggage. You can't do that anymore. God, who is pure holiness and righteousness, shall not tolerate any to be in his presence who are less than holy and righteous in his sight. Certainly one who remains in filthiness and overflowing of wickedness shall not receive the promised salvation. Third, the word is required. Herein lies the way of salvation. His word was able to save souls then, and it's able to save souls today. Salvation is not to be found in a feeling, wishful thinking, or devices of men. Only God's word has that capability. When it is received and it is implanted into the lives, the full potential of God's saving power will be realized. Are you listening? How will you receive salvation? It's not enough just to hear or to believe. Through the action directed by the Holy Word, change can be made in life today. Only by obedience of God's word can man be recipients of salvation. Obedience is the key to salvation. If there's no obedience to the word of God, there's no salvation. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So we see in the first verse, we just can't say, Lord, Lord, I believe. We have to believe and do. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. He says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity or lawlessness. You didn't obey. Are you listening? Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Are you listening? It's Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, that we need to obey, not man. No substitutes for obedience. Luke 6:46, and why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? You call me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what I say. I'm talking about substitution or substitutes. Tonight's lesson will be on no substitutions. We have a good crowd here this morning, and I know some are traveling. Don't use a substitute tonight to not be here at worship. Don't substitute. Are you listening? Come back tonight. In about anything that you do, you have results. Correct? If you're in school, you take a test. You're going to have a result. A, B, C. Pass or fail. In life. Results. On your job. Did we get the account or not? Did we lose it? How good were we when we presented the presentation? The results of obedience, of being obedient, Revelation 22:14, says that you may have the right to a tree of life. Hebrews 5, verse 9 says eternal life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse number 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2, verse number 1, says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. I would rather you sin not. But folks, we're human. We know that we sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus is your advocate. Now let's talk about the results of being disobedient. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 6, the Bible says, wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You may be one of the best people in the world. You may give of your means to those in need. You may be one of the best workers at your job. You're still disobedient if you have not obeyed the gospel. Second Thessalonians 1, verse number 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the result of being disobedient. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure, make your salvation sure. Go all the way with it. You can't just believe and say, I've got salvation. You can't just hear and say, I have salvation. All the conditions that are laid out. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. But now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Are you listening? So what do I need to do? One must hear the word of truth. The Bible asks, how shall they believe on in him of whom they have not heard? Romans 10:14. When he hears, he must believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. John 8:24 says, if ye believe not that I am he, ye will die in your sins. As a believer, he must repent of his sins. Turn away. The Lord said, except ye believe, or except ye repent and, of your sins, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. He must confess his faith in Christ. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the heart confession is made unto salvation. As a penitent believer, he must be buried in water. With Christ in baptism. Jesus promised, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Romans 6:4 says that we're buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. When one meets these requirements, when one meets these conditions of salvation, he is forgiven of past sins, saved, added to the family of God, and made an heir of heaven. To doubt one's salvation when he has done all the Lord has commanded would be to doubt the promise of God. We read from 2 Peter 3:9. That the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that any should perish, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you listening this morning? On the day of judgment, when time is no more, we'll all be listening. Will you hear your name called? This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, now is the time. We're not promised another day. We're not promised another breath. Make that choice this morning. If you've fallen away and you need to come back to the Lord, we urge you to do that. We'll pray with you and for you that those things be forgiven and get you back where you need to be. If you have a need this morning, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.